I'm nuts about that gal. Lord, I'm nuts about that gal. I got a room in the bug house. Lord, I'm going crazy nuts about that gal. She likes her music soft when the lights are low. When she starts to kiss and I can't help from the fall, I'm nuts about that gal. Lord, I'm nuts about that gal. She can be mean as hell, but sweet as the sugar that goes in my tea. If I'm sentenced to be hung, and this ain't no lie, if I could just see that gal, I would be willing to die. I'm nuts about that gal. People, I'm nuts about that gal. I don't know what she done to me. Lord, I'm just nuts about that gal. She don't dress fine. The way that gal can love will change any man's mind. I'm nuts about that gal. People, I'm nuts about that gal. I don't know what she done to me. Lord, I'm just people. I'm just nuts about that gal.
Paul Jeremiah at the Saturday Light Brigade. And did you come up? I don't think anybody knows yet what follows. High, take, and four, F-O-U-R. High, take, and four. Coming after John, Al, and Rod is Stewart. John Stewart, Al Stewart, and Rod Stewart. And coming after Park, Work, and Wait, that's Bench. Park, Work, and Wait is Bench. Mick was able to come up with Bench. Good morning to Eva. Nice to have you along with us. Stu was able to come up with Stewart, and he added Baker's as a clue for chocolate earlier. So do you know what follows? High, take, and it also follows four, F-O-U-R. We're going to leave that open for another moment or two. 412-200-5975.
The Mary Jane Berger Memorial Foundation joins you in supporting SLB Radio. The Mary Jane Berger Memorial Foundation is devoted to helping children and families learn about herbs, their cultivation, and uses. Additional information about herbs is available from the Herb Society of America at herbsociety.org or mjbergerfoundation.org.
If you missed any of last week's on-air features, including the Friendship House Tour, cellist Nathan Cho, our audio postcards from our Youth Media Center, or the great live performance by the Balkan Babes, you can catch them on demand at neighborhoodvoices.org. Let me check quickly to see if anybody came up with our one missing afterthoughts puzzle. It does not. Oh, did Patrick get it? Yes, Patrick got it. High five, take five, and one, two, three, four, five. We were looking for five. Thank you for playing along as we broadcast live, where our doors are now open from historic Allegheny Square. Along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM McKeesport and SLBRadio.org/radio. That's Molly Maguire's, and that song was from a group called Sweetheart of the Barricades. And we recorded that live in our studios on air June 30th, 2018. Coming up in a moment, we're going to talk with two students about their Labsy award-winning work as part of the Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh Teen Media Awards. We're also going to talk with another student later in this half hour. In between, we're going to talk with somebody who's here visiting us during today's open house. So a lot to come shortly. Thank you for being here with us for today's Saturday Light Brigade.
The Northside Chronicle joins you in supporting SLB Radio. The Northside Chronicle is a free community newspaper that provides hyperlocal coverage of the people, places, and events in the 18 Northside neighborhoods of Pittsburgh. Details on the nominations for the Northside Chronicle's Reader's Choice Awards for favorite Northside small businesses, as well as information about the Northside Chronicle's free weekly newsletter, are available at thenorthsidechronicle.com.
Thank you if you made a review recently of SLB at greatnonprofits.org. Thanks to your support, we again have been recognized nationally as a top-rated nonprofit. If you enjoy our broadcasts or share our passion for amplifying underheard voices, including voices of youth and other people, you can leave your feedback at tinyurl.com/myslbreview. Now, it's a pleasure to welcome the first of three students that will be with us from Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh's Teen Media Awards today, Kieran and Thomas. I'm going to ask you both to introduce yourself, and then we'll talk about the project that you teamed up on.
Okay, so I'm Thomas. I'm from Shadyside Academy. I am a 10th grader, and I've been, you know, into filmmaking ever since 8th grade, I think.
Yeah, hi, I am Kieran Tivar. I'm a sophomore from Shadyside Academy as well, and I've been into filmmaking since, I think, early September of my freshman year of high school. And yeah, I've been working with Thomas the previous summer over our film College Bound, and it was a lot of fun.
When did you guys meet?
I met Thomas in 8th grade when he was a new student at Shadyside.
I was going to say, given your mutual love for filmmaking, you guys probably became friends pretty quickly, I would think.
Yeah, we also bonded over a lot of other hobbies. We just had a lot in common.
And tell me, what gave you that early interest in filmmaking?
For me, it's a lot of it. It's about my father always had cameras lying around in our house, and then I always just loved watching films, and then it's always cool to be able to, you know, create stuff in general, and then especially like using cameras, that's something that I was really interested in.
And Kieran, what about you?
My dad has always been really into film, not so much making it, but watching it, so from a young age, I've watched so many films with my dad, and so coming from that, I think just like using some of his old cameras and just taking some videos just with my friends, maybe if not some great truly like real films, but just recording me and my friends having a good time. And then I think after doing that and seeing all of these films, just I had the idea to maybe try to make something a little more professional, try to really express myself in a film. And then I asked Thomas if we wanted to make this film, and he was like, yeah, sure.
So it's called College Bound. How did you start? I don't know much about filmmaking. Did you have an outline or screenplay? Can you sort of walk us through the steps that it took?
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure for both of us, this was the first like major film we both made. So we were we took a shot in the dark, and we sat down one day, we found this whiteboard program online where you could just jot down ideas, and we just put together an entire storyboard, and we got in a call, and we were just talking about this, trying to put together a plot, character development, all these things, And yeah, I think we essentially just made a condensed version on a whiteboard, and we went from there.
And can you share a little bit about the plot? I don't want you to spoil it, but College Bound sounds like it could go in a lot of different directions.
Yeah, so for us, I think we kind of started the film as something that we wanted it to be about friendship, since it features both of us. And then we kind of just, as we were brainstorming, we kind of swing into the college direction, because that's something I think not only both of us, but a lot of teenagers our age would be stressful about, or even just like worry about. And for us, you know, that's also something we really want to do, like go into a good college. That's something we try to work hard on. So I think it reflects our real life is purpose and goals.
And what's the character, not the characters, but the mood, or what kind of treatment did you give this?
Well, I think what happens a lot of time, and especially I see this like in myself, like I'll find myself like even with my best friends, like competing for like academic achievement sometimes, or like I need to be better than this person so I can into a good college. I feel like there's this underlying competition always against me and my friends sometimes, and I wanted to express that, because sometimes I feel that can create drift between me and my friends and get in the way of our friendship. And so the film is about two kids who want to get into the same great college, but their underlying competition starts to get in the way of their friendship and starts to change the dynamic between them.
Is both in your film and in real life, is that competition out in the open, or is it sometimes kind of hidden? Like, I'll tell you why I'm asking. I know when I went to high school, there was a lot of that competition, but it was kind of like it wasn't talked about or that much out in the open, but there were certain cases where you knew somebody was kind of rooting for you to not do as well as they were, but they didn't necessarily let you know about that. Or is it more overt now, where people just are looking to best one another?
Yeah, I definitely think in this day and age, in the 21st century, I think especially about college admissions, it's gotten more competitive. And I definitely think even like in my real life during school, a lot of times just having talks with friends, I feel like a decent proportion of that is being talked about, you know, either college admissions itself or something that relates to the application process, like what you're doing on the side besides like your extracurriculars, your sports, your grades, everything that's related to. I think it's a lot more talked about in this day and age. And then it also kind of reflects in our film as well, where the two characters, me and Kieran, we kind of explicitly express our competition.
And it must be, I suspect, maybe it's not said directly, but is one person's, is a person succeeding looked at as something that is negative for everybody that might be in competition with that person? They call that like a zero-sum game, where if I win, it causes other people to lose. It can't be that we all rise together. It's that you're doing well means that somebody else didn't do well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think that is exactly what, like, the way we were going, but I think that can definitely be the case for a lot of people. But I think in the message we were trying to convey is that, like, the almost selfish, like, needs, like, I need to get into a college myself. I need to be better than everyone else. I think that is the main, the main theme of the film, where it's not so much making going against my friends, making sure they don't get into a good college, but it's making sure I get into one over my friends.
And is the film available for people to see?
Yeah, sure. We were actually thinking about putting it on YouTube sometime soon, but we just never gotten a chance to do it, but it's definitely coming soon.
Yeah, excellent. And I'm pretty sure on the Labzy Awards website, which you can just look up Labzy Awards on the internet and it'll come up first page, I'm pretty sure you can access our film from, if you click on the last year's winners tabs, I'm pretty sure we're on there. So either one of those will work.
Excellent. We'll come back to you two in a minute. I want to bring Felix into the picture, who's with us too, and then Maddie, you'll be next. Felix, tell me about yourself.
I'm Felix. I'm from City High. This is my freshman year. I saw this at a career fair a few days ago, and I was really interested. I had a great experience when I was in eighth grade doing like the morning announcements for all the little kids and using a voice, and it was so nice.
Yeah, I'm so glad you came. Felix is here for our open house today, and I'm glad you are. It occurred to me you might have some questions based on what you just heard. I don't want to put you on the spot, but is there anything you'd like to ask Kieran or Thomas?
Yeah, was there ever like a, was there ever something where you got like blocked, like a creative block when you were making your film, or were you just smooth rolling?
Yeah, I think for sure there were a lot of creative blocks because although we had a idea and kind of a board for where we wanted to go with the film, we were kind of freestyling as we went along, so there were a lot of I think plot holes we ran into, like while filming, and just I think coming up with solutions or refilming shots on the spot was a big part of that. Thomas, you want to elaborate?
Yeah, so I was actually in charge of like the majority of the editing, like the post production. So I think we basically scratched at least like half of the clips we filmed. That's I think that goes for like every creative process, but like a lot of what you do beforehand is not going to go into your final piece of work. So I think it was a lot of work for me.
It's a very good question. Have you made films or?
I have not made films, but I know my dad used to make like music festival films and stuff like that. So I have had some like connections to those, watching those. It was nice.
And you mentioned your first year at City High. Where did you go before that?
I went to Provident Charter School. It's a school for dyslexia. It's up on Troy Hill.
I know that school very well. We've done some work up there. It's a great school. How's City High been so far? I mean, you've been there only for about a month, I guess.
I mean, it's a lot of fun. I mean, freshman year, of course. But it's been so much fun getting to know people, and I like the style of it, how different it is, the all year round. But then I get breaks, so it's kind of nice.
Yeah, I like it too. We're going to turn now to Maddie, who is another Labsy award winner. Maddie, tell us about, can you lower that a little bit? There you go. I want to be sure we can hear you. Tell us about your project.
Yeah, so my name is Maddie. I go to Open Catholic. I'm a senior, and my project is actually a fashion piece I was making during my AP Art Portfolio work last year. So what I did was I actually had like a piece of like latch rug hooking and wire or something, and I kind of just tied a bunch of crumpled pieces of paper to this like rug backing. It's like kind of, maybe it's hard to visualize, but what I was going for was kind of like trying to tell the story of like how writers struggle to in their writing process as they're like facing rejections and like unused manuscripts. They kind of always have to like throw away these papers, and they constantly throw away these papers that kind of trail behind them, and we can see them as failures, but at the same time these capes can actually be wings that can lead them to the next level.
Oh, very cool. So when you say a hook, is it like one of those like oval shaped rugs where it's braided? Can you describe what the rug looks like?
It kind of looks like a mesh, but it's kind of like something that my teacher had from like a long time ago. I think it was really popular in like the 70s or 80s or something. It's basically where you can use pieces of fabric and kind of like tie it into just make a rug. It's like a craft thing.
Almost like a rag look, I think. And then you've actually attached. Did you use actual like letters or drafts of things from you, or how did you do it?
I actually sort of use it as like a way to recycle a used book. Like this book was about to go in the trash, but I just ripped out the book pages and crumpled them up and tied them to this rug backing.
What was it that caused you to go in this direction, if you can point to any one thing or a few things?
I think one thing was like the one thing that art taught me about last year I thought was really important was like the idea of process. I think I was really focused on trying to get like a finished piece that I didn't really, I always try to think about like the end goal, but this project just came to me suddenly and I feel like it's one of the best things that I've come up with in my portfolio. And it just kind of came to me as like a random idea because I was thinking, how do I express the struggle or like the story of like writers and different other creative people? And this is sort of something that just popped in my head.
I like the idea. I found a podcast recently called I Regret to Inform You is the name of the podcast, and it's about rejection and professional rejection. And they interview people who we know is very successful about rejections they had in their life. And your work reminds me of that podcast. I actually, though, like the idea that it's a work of art that you can look at and interpret a little bit more on your own rather than just hearing a story given. But what a great work. Anybody have any questions to ask of Maddie? Feel free to jump in while we're together.
I think this is just a curiosity question. How long did it take you to like go from nothing to like the finished product?
I think I would say that adding everything together actually took 40 hours, which is a little bit crazy, but I think it's just like the process of planning things out, cutting things out, and kind of like seeing what things work and what doesn't work. I had a bunch of times where I didn't know how to attach the pieces of paper onto the rug backing, and I was thinking like, I have no idea what to do with this. But we just tried different things, and my teacher helped me out, and it eventually worked out, so it was great.
That was Karen. Any other questions?
Yeah, so I just want to say, I've been kind of getting into like fashion in general, and I'm just wondering if that, the piece of art that you have, does that relate to any of like your personal style or the fashion style of, I don't know, any idols you may have or anything like that?
I don't think necessarily, no, but I think I was mostly trying to think about like what kind of pieces of fashion could relate to like the idea of like a struggle of a writer. And the first thing I thought of was I actually looked at these like kind of wedding trains that are kind of like split, and it's kind of like interesting as like a contrast. Like wedding trains are something that's part of like a happy, joyous event, but I kind of wanted to show how like this could also represent like a struggle and like the idea of a writer kind of like trying to ascend from their failures.
I like that, the wedding train. It's like you're dragging along your past as you go through. Felix, did you have a question by any chance?
I would say, like, what is your, what gives you the most creativity to make these pieces of art?
I think one thing that I've learned is that you get a lot of your art from your stories, and either through reading or talking with people. I don't think you can necessarily create in a bubble, so I think creating from experience is almost like the most authentic thing you can do, but the second best thing would be to like talk with people and see what they think. So, yeah.
That's Maddie, who is a student at Oakland Catholic. If you're just joining us, talking about her Labsy Award, Felix it's Dreyer.
Dreyer.
Felix Dreyer, who is a freshman at City High, is also with us, and I was just inspired. By one of the questions asked Karen and Thomas, how long did it take to go from nothing to film? Sometimes when somebody asks a question, they're thinking about their own project, but I'm really curious, how long did it take you to put your film together?
Well, I think in filmmaking there's a lot of different processes. There's obviously pre-production, production, and post-production. And so for pre-production, I think 8 hours of just like brainstorming, somewhere around there, right?
Yeah, but that's just like the actual process you have during the actual brainstorming process. But I feel like the entire duration of that, like it's not that we sat down for 8 hours at one time. It's more like throughout a period of a month or two where we, you know, just randomly have ideas pop up, and then, you know, I call Kieran or Kieran calls me, and then we just kind of discuss about things. I think that's the way we started pre-production.
Yeah, and then the actual production, like filming, that took the longest amount of time. We probably had 4 or 5, probably like 5 to 8 hour filming sessions where we would just film, like for a lot, very long periods at a time. We'd obviously take breaks in between.
Oh,
like,
sure.
Have lunch and stuff. But I remember, I think my most memorable moment during film was I was at Thomas's house and we were hungry and we needed to film at another location. So we put the camera in our backpack and we biked to a local Panera and we filmed in the back and we ate there. It was really funny.
You got very practical. So how long is the film at the end? All said and done.
It is around 6 to 7 minutes, I think 6:30.
So say it's 6 minutes. I don't know what a good rule of thumb is, but I'm going to guess maybe in radio it's usually about 100 minutes for something like this, or maybe 10 to 100, meaning it might take 10 minutes to 100 minutes to get one really good minute. For you to get 6 minutes, that had to take at least 20 hours, I bet, altogether, probably far more than that.
Yeah, so I kind of mentioned this before. I did a lot of the post-production, and then, you know, for me, I'm a big crammer, so I kind of don't, like, whenever it's just me and my computer, I kind of just sit in front of it and then, you know, just forget the time and then just work until, you know, the work is done, basically. So I don't know if you meant, like, just the clips we recorded, the time of that, or the time we put in as well. But, yeah, definitely more than 20 if everything is...
Oh, it had to be much more than that.
Right.
It takes a lot of work, and also figuring out what to cut is not that easy. Hey, Felix, do you make anything like this, films, or do you like to write?
I like to. I'm more just trying to find my mojo, but I really like I like to doodle. I have a lot of like drawings that, even just starting at City High, I have a lot of drawings in my folders and notebooks and papers, and I really enjoy it.
Excellent. I'm going to ask you three to do something since we have Felix here. If you had like a word of advice for somebody just starting high school from your perspective, any ideas?
The thing I think is most important, which is something I struggle with, is I think everyone has things they'd like to try, but I think also everyone has people in their life who will judge and say what you're doing is weird or is it's something silly. And I know filmmaking for sure. I know whenever any of my friends besides Thomas see me with my camera, sometimes they're like, what is he doing? Like, does he think he's like a filmmaker or something? And I think you really have to find those people in your life who accept that you are trying to like build upon yourself and you're picking up something new. Like Thomas, whenever I told him I was getting into film, Thomas was one of the only people that was like, that's great, let's do something, let's put something together. And I think you have to find those people in your life and really keep them close to you.
So I just want to add to that really quickly. I completely agree with what Kieran says, and that's also like one of the stuff, one of the messages I really try to, I should do. And then also, I just want to say, you know, besides finding people who accept you for who you are, I think it's also good to be that person who accepts others for whatever they're interested in. I think that's really important. Like, especially when you're in need of something, it's always good to have friends who truly know who you are and truly don't judge. You know, it's always good to have somebody who doesn't judge you and then accept you for who you are. So it's good to be that person.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I think going back to the creative process or doing anything, any sort of activities, don't be afraid to try new things. I think that's one thing that has really like helped me, at least try different things, branch out and just move out of your comfort zone. And that doesn't mean to do things that are necessarily uncomfortable, but just try something that you never thought you would be able to do, because you can learn so much from different people and you'll realize that there's actually a lot more people that support you when you try new things. So yeah.
Thank you. Boy, this went by really quickly.
Yeah.
And Felix, any response to that?
I think that's amazing advice, and I'll try my best to find people that will share a passion or something that I, even if I don't find it straight away, if I find a really good passion that I'm passionate about, I will definitely try and find somebody. I think connecting to people is a great way to get into something.
I'm glad we all connected this morning. This segment went by quickly. But I want to ask, did any of you have something else you wanted to say that I might not have given you the space? It could be acknowledgments of people or shout-outs or just something you had hoped to say that you didn't.
I think Thomas, like, I really appreciate Thomas was with me every step of the way making this film, and I think it was really a team effort, and thanks, Thomas.
So first of all, I just wanted to respond to that. I really appreciate Kieran as well, and then also I just want to say I'm grateful for the judges at Labdy Awards to give us this chance, and then also for you guys to let us have this opportunity. I appreciate it a lot.
Oh, you bet. I hope you'll be back, Maddie.
Yeah, thanks again for this opportunity to speak here, and thanks to the judges as well for letting us have this opportunity to talk with you guys.
And finally, Felix.
I'm grateful to just come in and see how it is. I will definitely be coming back. It's so fun.
Wonderful. Thanks to all of you. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, where we're going to be joined in just a minute by the Shaler High Sustainability Club, who will be with us to talk about their work. Along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions in Pittsburgh.
Farm no more. I ain't gonna work on Maggie's farm no more. When I wake up in the morning, pull my hands and pray for rain. I got a head full of ideas that are driving me insane, and it's a shame the way she makes me scrub the floor. I ain't gonna work on Maggie's farm no more. I ain't gonna work for Maggie's brother no more. I ain't gonna work for Maggie's brother no more. He hands you a nickel and he hands you a dime. He asks you with a grin, are you having a good time? And he finds you every time you slam the door. Well, I ain't gonna work for Maggie's brother no more. Maggie's pa no more. I ain't gonna work for Maggie's pa no more. He puts his cigar out in your face just for kicks, and his bedroom window it is made out of bricks, and the National Guard stands around his door. I ain't gonna work for Maggie's pa no more. I ain't gonna work for Maggie's ma no more. Well, I ain't gonna work for Maggie's ma. Talks to all the servants about man and God and law, and everybody says that she's the brains behind Pa. She's 68, but she says she's 54. I ain't gonna work for Maggie's ma no more. Maggie's farm no more. I ain't gonna work on Maggie's farm no more. Well, I try my best to be just like I am, but everybody wants me to be a little more like them. They say, sing while you slave, and I just get bored. I ain't gonna work on Maggie's farm no more.
Tim O'Brien at the Saturday Light Brigade. Coming up, you're going to get to meet members of the Shaler Sustainability Club.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from the Allegheny Regional Asset District, putting Allegheny County sales tax dollars to work in regional libraries, parks, sports facilities, and arts and culture programs. Learn more at radworkshere.org.
I've been looking forward to this segment for quite a while. The Shaler High School Sustainability Club is a remarkable organization doing great things. And there are five students here this morning that I'm getting to meet for the first time, as well as a teacher at Shaler, a science teacher, who focuses on sustainability. Before we do anything, I think it would be good if we brought you inside of the room with us so you know who's here. So we'll do that. And I'm going to begin by asking Kaisa to introduce herself, and then we'll just sort of work our way around the room.
Hi, I'm Kaisa. I'm a junior at Shaler Area High School.
Hi, I'm Adriana, and I'm also a junior at Shaler Area High School.
Hi, I'm Sam, and I'm a sophomore at Shaler Area High School.
My name is Luke, and I'm a senior at Shaler Area High School.
My name is Maddie, and I'm a junior at Shaler Area High School.
Hi, my name is Abby Nelson, and I am a science teacher and Sustainability Club sponsor at Shaler Area High School.
So who can tell me what the club is all about, your goals, objectives, what you do? And feel free, you guys are a club, you know how to do this, so just jump right in.
So the club is open to anybody who wants to come and join, and we just do different things that help promote sustainability and different projects. Last year we made a book, and we packaged seed packets with it and made letters to the people who bought the book to send it to them.
And then last week we also helped promote leaf composting in Shaler. It's a very popular thing that other districts in the area do, and someone came and asked if we would present to the commissioners to promote this service and possibly get it involved in Shaler.
We try to go to wherever we can help. Just a few weeks ago, we went and helped clean up Gertie's woods in different areas. That was very fun.
Sam was amazing at building trails. It was really cool. So they kind of learned a lot about like geometry and like how to prevent erosion and structuring the trail. So Gertie's Woods is a green space that these students helped to protect in our school district, and it needs some love. And so they were giving it some love just a couple weeks ago, helping to build the trails.
Some people listening might be wondering, what is sustainability? You know, is this an environmental club, a nature club? But no, you've been very deliberate in calling this a sustainability club. Can anyone tell me a little bit about that? I'm not trying to quiz you. I just think it's important that we talk about sustainability.
Sustainability is about, like, protecting our planet for future generations. So not just the planet, but as for people, like, in the future, like our children and so on.
So there are ways, lots of ways to do things, different ways to create trails, different ways to kind of clean up parks, but you want to do it in a way that lasts, I guess, right? That'll stand the test of time.
Anyone can do anything for just a little bit, but if we do it the correct way, it'll last for a long time.
What drove each of you to get involved with something like this? Was it Ms. Nelson? I'm sure she's a great teacher, but is this a required class at Shaler?
The sustainability class is an elective. We don't have to take it. But I was kind of always interested, but I guess I kind of just wanted to, I feel like I could be doing more personally, and the class was a good way to get into that, kind of like actually learn what things I could be doing every day.
Did you learn anything that surprised you in terms of simple actions that make a huge difference?
One thing I learned that I thought helped but really didn't was the fact that recycling doesn't actually really do anything. That was kind of a shock to me. I thought that was like one of the best ways to help.
Yeah, and I think I know what you're saying, because I've worked in the environmental field in addition to doing this. But can you explain why recycling might not be so effective?
Well, the main thing we talked about is that unless it's like only certain types of plastic can be recycled. And I think it was called like downcycling or something. So every time it's recycled, it gets less useful. I don't really know how to word it. And if there's like food or anything on that, it can't even be used at all. And with like glass, there's a glass plant right where we live, but it's cheaper to just make new glass instead of recycling old glass.
Yeah, and the best way to eliminate waste is not to recycle it, but just to not make the waste in the first place. And recycling was all the rage. And it's still, I suppose, good, but it's probably the last solution. The best solution is to not make waste to begin with. And that's a great observation, especially about the glass plant near you that used to do a lot with collet, you know, broken glass to make glass bottles. I don't think that's happening as much as it used to. Any other thoughts about what drove you to be part of the class and club, or surprises, things you learned?
What drove me to like come to the class? I had many friends that took the class and was very interested, and that got me interested in the class. Like my friend Maddie took it last year, and it made me really interested in it. And now I'm thinking about going into environmental field, so like environmental engineering or anything with sustainability. I'm very interested now. And we just went on a field trip to the Frick Environmental Center, and I got to learn more about like how they made the building more sustainable and how you can be more sustainable just with your choices of like pavement and how you create your buildings.
That was Adriana. And any other thoughts?
What's also very interesting about the class is that students at Pitt are also taking the class. So it is it's called a college and high school class. So it's very similar to if you know what like an AP AP class is, and advanced placement. You can earn college credits by taking the Shaler Area Sustainability class. You do have to pay for it, but we are taking the class that. We take it for a full year, but Pitt students take it for a semester, and we get the same amount of credits for it. So we can use those if we choose to go on to college, and they can be transferred over.
Wow, that's Kaisa. I'm glad you brought that up. So is the class in your high school, or do you have to go to Oakland?
Yep, so it's taught in Ms. Nilsson's classroom.
So you get to meet college students, which is pretty cool, right? It's part of it.
Not necessarily. So we don't take the class with them. It's the same curriculum, but they're being taught it at Pitt, but we're being taught it at Shaler with Ms. Nilsson.
I got it. But you end up getting credits for the class, and you get exposed to a college-level subject early.
Yeah.
Is it harder than your other classes?
Well, this one's different because with sustainability, it's not a test-based class. It's a project-based class. So like we said, we did the Frick Park. Last year, they did the books, and we made T-shirts, which Sam is wearing.
Yeah, I like the shirt. It says Save Gertie's Woods and has a nice picture of the outline. Beautiful.
Yes, so we do stuff like that instead of like normal testing. So we get graded on our participation throughout like the sustainability and us doing all of these different projects to help our community be more sustainable.
I wanted to talk about some of the other projects too. You mentioned the book project with the seeds within it, and there were letters in it too. Did I get that right?
We wrote letters to everybody who bought the books, like thanking them.
Very nice. And what about the seed packages?
We put seeds for like wildflowers in the area and milkweed to help get butterflies back into like help them. They're like going extinct right now, so or they're endangered. So we were just trying to help them. And one way we did that is we just put seeds in with the books.
Are there other projects you've done in addition to these?
Last year, I was a junior when I took the class. It was called the Reserve.
The Reserve Shaler Land Protection Project. It's a hard name.
Yep. Where it was a 50 acres. Mm-hmm. It was going to be turned into a housing development, and we raised, I think it was like $20,000, somewhere around there.
Yeah, we raised over $20,000.
And Shaler Township matched us, and we stopped it from becoming a housing development and became protected green space.
That's huge. That's not easy at all. How did you raise $20,000?
So it was a variety of things. One of the things that students did is we did package up seeds specifically, as Maddie kind of described. We had seeds in our book, and then we also had another seed fundraiser where these seeds we gave instructions on planting, and they were all supposed to help local pollinators. And for every donation of $20 to our fundraiser, we mailed these seed packets to people. And so as part of that, $20,000 that we raised, part of that was a match from our township, which we were very thankful of. And we just really had a lot of community support. We were also very thankful that we had some local news. WPXI kind of followed us as we were fundraising. And Maddie here was even on the news dressed as a monarch butterfly out in the woods. And she's also made it onto the cover of our children's book. So the local media really did help promote the students' work.
That is amazing. And to stop something like that is not easy. I mean, that project was probably already had a lot invested in it, both in terms of ideas and how they were going to carry it out, as well as the other kind of green space, money. And you were able to put a stop to it, which is amazing. This book called Love the Earth by students of Shaler Area Sustainability, it's a really nice book. It is sort of formatted the size of a magazine, but it's a sheet bound. This is beautiful. Who conceived this and put this together?
It was kind of like a class-wide project. We all it was part of our midterm grade. We had to make a page out of the book. We all had to submit our own page for the book with our own design, and then they all kind of got put together for the whole thing.
And we ended up selling the book, and we donated all of the money. This was in partnership with the Aetna Community Organization. And we donated all of the money to support a new library in Aetna. So it is ongoing, and we do still have some copies of the book available.
I love this book, and put me down for one. I like all the signatures. It looks like about 40 signatures or so of people who contributed to the book. There's also puzzles in here. I saw that, and some great artwork. So after people take the class, it sounds like you can still stay involved in the club afterwards.
So I actually never took the class.
Ah,
he's the only one.
I'm the only one who hasn't taken the class.
Ms. Nelson and I will talk with you after this class.
She tells me, she says she's going to make me take the class at some point. I'm in our school's GATE program, Gifted and Talented Education, and we do a lot with the Sustainability Club. We have a greenhouse at Shaler Area High School, which we have had revamped. We also have this thing called a green wall, which right when you walk in to the right, there's this just plain brick wall with nothing on it. And we put a bunch of green plants, a lot of flowy green plants, a couple pink different flowers here or there, just to make it all look a lot, less bland, per se.
It's a great thing to do. Looks like you were going to add something.
Everyone is welcome to join the Sustainability Club, whether you're a freshman in high school or you're a senior. You don't necessarily have to take the class. It is an elective that you choose to take. But anyone is interested, if anyone is interested, we would love to have everyone in the club. We do so much good with it. So it's just a great opportunity to meet new people and work to help the community.
I am curious. I interact with a lot of schools, a lot of students. I don't know of any club exactly like yours that have combined project-based learning with a college-level curriculum and community action. Do you know of any in the area similar?
I can't think of any.
I was going to ask, what would you recommend to people who might want to start this kind of program? And I'll include Abby Nelson in that question too, since she might know the answer.
Well, the club came about, actually it was a student idea. The class started about 4 years ago, and I had an amazing group of students, and that year we actually helped to protect Gertie's Woods, another green space in our school district. And after that, some of the kids just really, you know, the class ended and they wanted to stay involved. And so they took it upon themselves. There's to start a new club, you do have to have, you know, show support of the students. So they went and they got the signatures from a number of students and they submitted all the paperwork to our school. And then, you know, we were able to get the club started from there. And so it's been a great way to, once students finish the course, to kind of stay involved, or if they're thinking about taking the course, just to kind of see what it's about, because as Kaisa mentioned, it is open to all. So that's really how it started. And I do think that, you know, there's so much interest with these amazing students that I have. Like, they just blow me away every single event that we do. And so I hope that other schools will work to have clubs like this. The class itself through Pitt is at a couple of different schools now. Shaler and Montour were the first to have the class. But it's starting to spread a little bit. And so maybe a club kind of will follow.
Yeah, and I don't have their website at my fingertips, but the college and high school program at Pitt, I do know, and it's an excellent program. So if you're wondering about this as you listen, you could search for that to learn more, or contact us and we'll put you in touch with one of the five students here or with Abby Nelson, their teacher. I have some other questions I want to ask of you, but before I do, does anybody else have something to say about the club and its work?
Our club, we also have Instagram and Facebook, so you can follow our club and what we do. And if we do any fundraisers, you can obviously help out. Our Instagrams are SAHS Sustainability and Shaler Area Sustainability Club. And we also have a Facebook page, which I think we'll link it in our Instagram bios.
And anything else to add?
Yeah, for me, I just think the club is a great way to get involved after you've already taken the class. Like, for me, I already took the class last year, so, and I already got the college credit, so I couldn't take it again this year. But for people that still want to be involved, I think it's a great way to just still be able to help, I guess.
And I obviously still haven't taken the class yet, but I definitely think that was cool that I can still do this. My mom was an environmental major, and she said that you forgot it. You weren't able to get in the class this year because I signed up, but I still wasn't able to get in. And so she made me take the club instead, and I'm glad I did.
And that's because of the gate conflicts, or?
It's a very competitive class to get into.
Well, Sam's in 10th grade, so we still have a couple years. He'll get in there.
I hope you will. So you all, I think, already have power. Your power is going to increase exponentially as you get older and develop more and more social capital, knowledge, and all of these things. So I'm going to fast forward to that degree of power, but we're still going to stay in the present time. If you had all the power in the world, all the resources, and could change something, what would you change? And it can be anything. We can veer outside of the lines of sustainability. It can be something small or something big. No pressure.
I would change the way that climate change affects our planet, because a lot of people don't see it as a problem, and it really is for our planet, because it's making our planet get to that 1.something% that we're not supposed to get to, and it's getting really close. And I just think if that went away, we have a longer Earth.
It's a great answer. Any other thoughts?
It's a really hard question.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah, it's, well, and I won't, it doesn't have to be, it's hard to pick just one thing, so don't worry about that.
There's so many areas of just off the top of my head, Lake Pittsburgh, but really anywhere where there's a bunch of these abandoned houses and nature that's spreading all around it, but the abandoned houses fulfilling them from, like, you know, stopping them from being like a lively area. And so I think I would try to get rid of those houses and put in and make it the area protected so it would grow back to what it could be instead of what it is now, and instead of an eyesore.
Yeah, sort of controlling development or being more thoughtful about how we do things.
I think one of the biggest ways, like the things that I would change, is how we get our food. And what I mean by that is like we all go to the grocery store and buy products that are shipped from halfway across the world, you know, probably by fossil fuels. But if everybody grew their own food and relied on their neighbor for like, you know, oh, if I need some tomatoes, go to two houses down, go one house up the street if I want a cucumber. Like if everybody grew, like kind of, it not only would it stop a lot of that shipping from halfway across the globe just for like an apple, it also build that sense of community where people realize that they can rely on their neighbor for things that they need and not just have to go to the grocery store, hop in their car, and buy something that was shipped from another country.
That's a excellent thought. Anybody else? Ideas for change?
So like a lot of the cities in the world are kind of overgrown or over covered, like have a bunch of cars and like it's not a walkable city, or it's not like people can't get around easily without vehicles. And I think that like if like planting more, like making it more of a people city instead of like a vehicle city, and making it more green and having just like trees everywhere in the city would be like awesome.
That's a really good idea too. And thinking about mass transit, no offense to the Port Authority, which has a lot of issues, but I can usually use mass transit more easily in other cities and other countries than I can in my own hometown. And it would be nice to be able to have that kind of flexibility here.
I agree with you. I've actually never taken a bus inside of Pittsburgh because I heard how bad they were. But when I went to Europe, it was a lot easier to do that. And even in Spanish, it was so much easier to read and understand.
Now, anybody wanted to say, it's the buses are fine. It's just hard to learn how to use the system. Sometimes it's the toughest, but that's part of bad, right? You want to feel like it's intuitive and that you can do it. It's not always intuitive.
One of my biggest interests, I guess, in terms of sustainability is how people get around. And we recently, for the GATE program that Sam was talking about, we went to FIPS and we were talking to a lot of people with careers in sustainability who earn their PhDs in like environmental architecture and things like that. And we were talking, his name was James, and he was a landscape architect. And he was telling us about how he was talking about the urban heat effect and how because of cars and just how much asphalt our cities are covered in, that cities are getting a lot hotter really fast. And I guess if there was just more general like interest in public transit like there was in like Europe and other parts of the world, it can be relieved a lot easier. And that's the main things I wanted in terms of like a career.
These are all great answers. Our time has really moved along so quickly. Does anybody else have anything to say? I want to be sure we give the social media handles again, but anything else anybody wants to add?
I just want everyone to know that it's not that hard to be a sustainable person. It is definitely different from what you live now, most likely, and if you think you're sustainable, then that's good, but I'm sure there's always more you can do. So, you know, just go out and try.
I would love to have you guys come back and record a podcast together or do some other work in our Youth Media Center. Any other final thoughts?
Also, we have a lot more upcoming events, so you can follow along again with our handles, the Instagram SAHS Sustainability and Shaler Area Sustainability Club. Our future projects entail a rain garden for a park near us, and we have an art show coming up.
Excellent. And the Love the Earth book is still available, too. Also, we have to say hi to Luca. Is Luca out there?
He's out there in the brown
Luca
hoodie.
Belongs to Kaisa. Hi, Luca. Just wanted to say hello. We can get you to say hi on the radio in the next hour if you want to. And Sam's parents are out there somewhere. Anybody else we should mention?
My daughter, Aletta, is out there, too.
Oh, wonderful. How old's your daughter?
She's 9, but she'll be 10 next week.
How nice. Thanks. Oh,
I just wanted to make sure. It's Shaler_Area_Sustainability_Club.
Ah. Excellent. Thanks to all of you for being here, and I truly hope we'll get to see you again to do some more things. Broadcasting live, as if there were any other way, from historic Allegheny Square, along with all sorts of folks. Ricky is here, and Joseph, and Katie, Alexa, Ty, and hopefully you. It's an open house. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, Ohio, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield, Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, and slbradio.org/radio.
I like the coffee, I like the tea, I like the jam, and the jam, it likes me. Coffee and tea, and the jam and me. Cup, 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 smile, smile, smile. If not now, well then have a sip or two. And maybe yeah, while you can smile, but leave down with the body, the boat, 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 I love you, I love you in the good morning and in the night. And every day I work with you. Wherever we are, I know I'm gonna be alright. It's alright. But little love with the body, 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 little love with the body. It's one of those gray, misty, chilly mornings. Hard to tell the sun is even up, but it is. Morning is here. Morning is broken, like the first morning. It's time to wake up and face another day in our troubled and confusing world. I know that's hard for you, my love. I know you have a hard time waking up in the morning. I myself, I wake up like a small boy every day, cheerful, happy, smiling, singing. And then by noon, I feel fairly mature. By evening, I'm in deep despair. I wake up the next day, I'm okay again. I know it's kind of the opposite for you, my love, which is probably why we get along as well as we do, especially along about early afternoon. But you know what I did this morning, baby? Even though it's cold out, I ran into the kitchen. I made you some coffee, even though I'm kind of an Earl Grey type of guy myself. I like that tea. Coffee seems a little bitter to me, but you love coffee, and that's what love is all about, learning to love what your lover loves, getting as close as you can anyway. And in spite of the way this song sounds, my love, I didn't make it in a percolator. You know I wouldn't do that to you. I know you're a coffee aficionado. You people don't even want to hear about percolators, no. I use the number 6 milliliter filter in the pour-through cone. I use those good dark French roast beans. I ground them up in a little grinder thing. I timed it when I was grinding them, just for you, my love. It's some good stuff. I got my finger down in there by that blade. Watch out, it's sharp. I got every fleck of that black gold out. I got it all into the cone. Put in a little half and half, because I know you like that. It's some good stuff. If you could just sit up now and just try and open your left eye. Just work on your left eye. It's all downhill from there. Get your olfactory passage zone, get a whiff of this stuff. Everything's gonna be alright, baby. Really it is. The sun is up, it's gonna be a beautiful day. Here's your coffee. It may still be too hot. It is freshly brewed. And I'll just pour myself a cup and then I'm gonna crawl in with you. Move over, baby. Body and deed and bold 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 and